All right, welcome back to the KNBR pregame show. Coming up here is my buddy, Adam Copeland. Good afternoon on a hot Labor Day, Adam.
How you doing, Bill? It is hot, man. I just got back from the grocery store. It's not fun out there, man. It's not fun.
Well, Adam, you know what? I've been thinking all day who I could ask these questions to, and I've circled you. So, please, I got three main questions, and I really hope you can help me, okay?
Okay, let's do it, man.
All right. The first one is most of the hitters go up to, you know, home plate, and they have their music. You know, you got Brandon Crawford, Good Life by Kanye West, Brandon Belt, Say It Ain't So by Weezer, and then a couple other ones that I know pretty well, Alex Dickerson, Iron Man by Black Sabbath. Mike Kostrzymski has When the Levee Breaks by Led Zeppelin. All good tunes, right? What would yours be?
You know what's funny is, like, for walking up batter music, it's never been as big of a deal to me because it's always just, like, a short little snippet. Like, they just play, like, you know, like 5 or 10 seconds. I've always thought it was way cooler when closers come into music, like when a relief pitcher comes out.
Well, that's
like,
where we're going to get to, but I want to ask you, what would your song be? What would your song be if you're going up?
You know what, dude? I would probably go, I used to love Kevin Franzen's walk-up music, which was Hey-O by Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, that's
Snow,
a good one.
Is in parentheses. That's a good one. It starts with that little, like, it's just kind of a cool, then the
and that, I think that's what you got to have. You got to have an upbeat, you know, so people see it come up and it's upbeat.
Exactly.
So my question,
sort of funny
my question here, Adam, is, you know, starting pitchers, when they go out and, you know, warm up, it's like 30 minutes, 35 minutes before the game. And it's music just regularly playing. Well, yesterday, Johnny Cueto went out there to warm up, and they had Frank Sinatra on. And I don't know if you saw him. He was trying to get their attention with music. Hey, hey, hey. And finally, he laid down on the ground and said, hey, I'm going to go to sleep with this. Now, don't get me wrong. I like Frank Sinatra, and Mike Murphy used to have it on in his clubhouse all the time. But I must ask you, for a starting pitcher, you know, 30 minutes before the game, don't you think starting pitchers should maybe have some salsa on or some rock and roll or some Motown?
Yeah, I think sort of, and maybe you can speak to this. I feel like there's got to be something like that on a day a starting pitcher goes. Remember, like, Tim Lincecum didn't mind being talked to. He was like, I'm laid back. I'm okay to have conversations on the day I pitch. Whereas other guys, you don't talk to them. You let them go about their routine. I know Ryan Vogelsong was right like that.
You don't talk to him.
Exactly. He ate the same meal. He had his enchiladas on game day. He had his whole day was mapped out. They listen to their songs. They have their routine. They go out and they pitch. So I sort of feel like if the pitcher's up for it, it should maybe be his say as far as, like, what's the music that plays around the ballpark or around the clubhouse.
Well, just when he's warming up, Adam, just when he's running his sprints, long tossing, because once you got your 20 minutes going, your mind starts focusing. But you know, I was with Johnny Cueto. Come on, put some live music on. Get that heartbeat rolling. So you're with me for the first one, right?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think you got to have something upbeat, and I think the pitcher should probably want. He's getting locked in. Let him lock into the music that he wants to get locked into.
Okay, my second one is going to be about the 13,000 cutouts. They're all over the ballpark, 13,000 of them. Why can't we have a roving camera going around the ballpark looking at all these? I would love to look at some of these. Wouldn't you like to have Crook give his Tarzan a voice out of when you see a couple people with their mouths open? I think it would be great to show all this.
Well, I thought coming into it that we were actually going to get more of it, Bill. Like, I thought we were going to, because, you know, we used to do the whole Crook eliminate me thing where he would eliminate people in the crowd.
I remember that.
They've been doing that stuff where Crook and Kiper may be the best in baseball at picking out people in the audience and sort of poking fun at them. And especially, Bill, it's baseball, man. Like, we get some of these innings that just drag on, mm-hmm. or some of these ball games that go maybe not as long as they used to go now because of this you know, 10th inning, second man on second rule. But as far as the entertainment factor for the TV broadcast, that's part of why we love Crook and Kite. I'd be totally into getting more of that from the audience or from the crowd. Like, I think the opening homestand was when we first got Lucille sitting in the crowd with the Seals, right? Wasn't that kind of fun? Like, stuff like that is kind of funny.
It was a blast.
So, so I'm up for that. I think we need to see more of that. But also, the counter to that, Bill, is that the baseball on the field has been much better quality, I think, than we were anticipating.
Right.
We don't need as many distractions. You know what I mean? I'm okay with getting.
Well, I'm talking about when a reliever comes in.
Yeah,
you got a couple minutes here and there, or breaking into a. You know, there was always time you could get up there. But I'm just thinking, you know, all these people, 13,000 people paid their $100 for it. I'd love to see their faces on there and what they're wearing, wouldn't you?
Well, I would. And how about this, too? The other thing about it is a lot of the ballparks have done it. I know the A's have done it. The Mariners have done it. I think just about every park in baseball. However, the New York Yankees did not do the cutout thing. And when they show, like, I've watched a couple of ball games in Yankee Stadium. It's kind of weird, man. Like, I didn't realize how normalizing the view of at least people in the stands, like the photographs of people, do make it look a little bit more normal to, like, the naked eye or out of the corner of your eye on TV. It's much weirder watching the Yankee games where you're hearing the crowd noise and there's nobody in the stands. Like, it's a little more eerie, I think.
Right.
I really like it. I think it's been a good idea, and I think it's worked out better than, you know, for something that's never happened before, like this pandemic we're dealing with. I think it's a good idea that that a lot of teams around baseball, including the Giants, decided to do it.
So, Adam, you're good for 2 for 2, right? You're good on both of them, correct?
Well, I guess I agree with you. If I disagreed, I guess maybe I'd be 1 for 2, but that'd be 500. That's
2 for 2.
Good.
Well, I'm going to my third point here, and I think you'll maybe agree with this, so I'll go 3 for 3. Now, you know, I set up a GoFundMe account, and sure enough, Alex Dickerson, Yaz, Slater, Ruff, Longoria, Belt, they all put money into it already. And you say, what's that about? Well, you know, I know there's essential workers that can only come in the ballpark, but these guys all put money in my GoFundMe account to get a couple ball dudes down each line. And those ball dudes to help them on those foul balls. Would you agree?
Are you saying that the GoFundMe is to get ball to pay ball
yeah,
dudes
to
be
purchase,
in
you know, testing to get, you know, a couple ball dudes down there so they don't have to run after the balls?
Boy, it's funny you say that because I can't remember. I was watching a ball game last week, and it wasn't a Giants game, but there was a play where there was a foul ball up the left field line, and the left fielder had to run, and he was in a shift. Like, they were
He had to run all the way over.
He had to run all the way over to left, and then he picked up. And then the next play, same thing happened, right? There was another foul ball right over there, and he had to run back and throw it back into the stands. It's an element of the game I haven't really thought about. It would be a good normalizing factor. I'm with you in terms of, yeah, it would be cool to get these guys somebody else to go chase down the balls. The other part of me goes, you know what? Like, when you're in Little League, that's the way you do it. You just kind of got to make
do.
Yeah,
but this is the big leagues, Adam. Come on. I'm thinking a couple ball dudes. Listen, a couple ball dudes in those onesies in orange, you know, they run out there so you know they're the ball dudes. You could really, you know, have some fun with them. But I just think it's overworking these outfielders and first and third base. Even Ron Walters said, hey, I'll throw $20 into it. So I think the players kind of want that help.
Now, honestly, Darren Ruff, who DH's made, who's by the way a designated hitter, so half the time he doesn't even bring his glove to the yard. He only plays, he's only in there against left-handed pitchers. He seldom in the outfield, even when he is in there. Are we really overworking Darren Ruff in a 60-game season, Bill? Is he really overworked out there, man?
Hey, he's a big man. He's got big thighs. He's got big legs, you know. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're seeing Dickerson try to take out guys when he gets a foul ball down there. He's kind of upset, so he takes it out on the cutouts.
Well, you know, Matt Chapman of the A's was doing that, too. He said that's his thing now. Anytime he has to pick up a foul ball, he tries to take one of their heads off. He's like, I'm just going to hurl it into the stands, which it's kind of funny. You know, these guys are having fun with it, and it's just, you know, they're normally just lobbing it up there, and they're trying not to make eye contact because they're trying to stay focused in the game. But it's sort of funny now that these guys are picking out individual ones that they see, and they go, you know, next time I get a foul ball, I'm going to gun it right at that one sitting in section 302, seat 6, row 4, or whatever it is. That's just kind of funny. I don't know.
Well, you know, Dickerson at the end of the game yesterday said, hey, those cutouts, they made them pretty damn sturdy.
Well, they are. Have you
know,
seen,
he's trying to pick one off.
They're pretty thick. Like, I think they're big, sort of heavy, thick, because they've got to withstand the elements, too. So I think they're like big laminated, kind of cardboardy but plasticky material. So he's right. I think you got to hit them pretty good if you wanted to knock the head off of one.
So you're all good with all three of these then, huh, Adam?
Well, I think it's fantastic that you put together a GoFundMe and some of the Giants. I love that you got the corner guys, right? You had to get the corner
guys. I had to go with the money guys, right? I had to. I had to go with the money guys.
You got to get Antoine Richardson in because he's the first base coach. Then you'll have all the corners covered and you'll be set, dude. That's
he doesn't move much down there. You know that. He just kind of stands there with his gator on and kind of tells everybody what's going on with Ron Wotus over there. But I just thought those were three valid points I would bring up on a pregame. And you're the only guy that I could really talk to that about. So I'm glad you're on board with me.
I like that stuff, man. Those are the fun elements of baseball that I think when you're a fan, like especially like the walk-up music thing. I've always thought it was kind of cool, like, Enter Sandman for Mariano Rivera or Hell's Bells for Trevor Hoffman. And the one that was my favorite, I think I might have mentioned it to you, is Rob Nen with Smoke on the Water. the ninth inning and they'd throw the net up on the scoreboard in flames. That was always one of the coolest. You know, you hear the music and the gate opens from center field.
Right.
And I hated seeing Hoffman come in to face the Giants, but that was always just kind of a
Well, my best one is Blackman in Colorado when they blast Your Love by Outfield. I mean, they just blast it, and it's just a great tune. And I always go, hey, I like that tune.
Well, was it Mike Morse that used to come up to ABBA? Or no, what did he come up to that tune? And everybody would cheer. I can't remember what the song was, but Mike Morse would come up and everybody would sing a song together.
Yeah, that's the best way. Okay, last one right here. Joe West throws out Mike Rizzo up in the suite yesterday, stalls the game for like 15 to 20 minutes. The great Joe West doing his thing. What'd you think about that?
Well, Joe West doesn't get as much attention now that I don't know, but you don't get as much arguing with home plate umpires and everything's, you know, once a call's made, that's the way it's supposed to be. And you can't come out and argue. I was shocked by this. I saw this
so
video yesterday, and I don't know. I mean, you know, I guess there's some things you can't say. I didn't even know that that was a thing. I didn't even know that you could eject a guy from, like, sitting up in the
Well, he said that he was using profanity up there. That's what he was saying. He said he was using profanity, and he could hear him from all the way up there. And the highlights that we saw was he was looking up there, and Rizzo's like, what are you doing? There's nobody up here, you know, figuring he had to wear a mask. And so I just said, you know, well, why'd he throw him out? And then they stopped the game, and the game was like 7-1 at the time.
Right,
and I
right.
just thought, Joe West putting the highlight on him. Okay, Joe, everybody wants to talk to you now.
Well, umpires, I mean, you know, I don't ever want to act like an umpire is going to make it about himself. I feel like Joe West sometimes does that. Sometimes Joe West does make it about himself. And, you know, how much of this, he said he would have done it to anybody. He said it didn't matter who it was. I mean, he said he would have ejected the president if he were yelling those things.
Yeah, and then he said I'd vote for him.
All right, Joe. Yeah, I know. I was like, all right, Joe, we didn't ask, but. You know, I don't know. It was bizarre to me. Coming back to a statement you made a minute ago about guys chasing balls at the foul line, it's the big leagues, man. If you can't stand that as a major league umpire and you can't take the general manager being upset with calls and profanity, as long as he's not really crossing a line, what are we upset about? Is profanity really that big of a deal on a baseball field?
Well, isn't the game supposed to be faster too, Adam? Isn't that what Manfred said? Hey, we're trying to make the game quicker. We're trying to make it faster. And what does he do? Well, he has his veteran Joe West stalling the game to throw Rizzo out in the third deck. I just thought it was so unprofessional.
Well, that kind of counterintuitive has been going on for a little while with the let's speed up the process of the game. Let's make the game go faster. However, let's now add instant replay to review and make more plays reviewable. And then it takes forever to get the review done, and then we're not really clear on was it overturned? Is it confirmed? Is it now staying the same? Is it the call on the field? So they've been pretty counterintuitive with that for a few years. How do you speed up the game and then add instant replay and add more things that can be challenged? I think we've sort of elongated some elements of the game, but I'm with you. It was an unnecessary attention grab, and I don't even know that it was warranted.
Well, big game today, last game against the Diamondbacks. They're 7-2 against them, a good pitching match moving forward. What do you see for today?
Well, Zach Gallen's been really good, and this all comes back to what we've been talking about. You keep seeing the same pitchers that you've seen over and over and over. So it's the third time they've seen Zach Gallen in like the last two weeks,
sir.
Right?
Yep.
So, you know, first time he came out, he was not very sharp against them. He walked a bunch of guys. They jumped on him early. That's kind of what you want to do. He's not going to give up a lot of runs. He's not going to give in a lot. He's not going to put a lot of guys on base. So when he does, you've got to take advantages of those opportunities. And I think with Kevin Gausman, it's going to be all about executing in two strikes, making sure guys are not continuing to foul balls off, finishing counts, finishing at bats, because he's been sharp. As long as he can keep the pitch count down, they can count on him to go deep into the game.
Yeah, Gausman's got to get the high velocity in there, and then using a split finger out of the zone, maybe get some guys to chase. And I just think it's early runs going to be really a factor here. The Giants' bullpen have just been overworked, but they put a lot of zeros on the board. Adam Colpone, once again, thank you so much for taking your time out here on a Labor Day, and thanks for answering my three questions. I'm glad you're agreeing with me.
Oh, it was fun, dude. It was fun. But, you know, again, I don't think Darren Ruff's that overworked, Phil. We got to lay off of acting like he's sweating out there, you know. Anyway, it was great, man.
You're picking on my boy Darren Ruff today.
I like him. I like him. I do, but he doesn't even bring a glove half the time, man. I can't think he's overworked.
Adam Copeland, put your groceries away. Your ice cream's melting. I'll talk to you later, buddy.
I will. Catch you later, Bill.
All right, that was Adam Copeland, and we'll be right back on the pregame show at KBR, the Sports League.